Sudanese who are in the United States will be following this weekend's vote very closely. Many are from southern Sudan. They include the so-called lost boys who fled the civil war in the south as children. For them, the nationwide election is a preamble to another vote in January. That's when a referendum is scheduled to be held in southern Sudan. People there will cast ballots for or against independence. Both votes, the one this weekend and the one in January, are part of a 2005 peace deal between the government in the north and rebels in the south. The World's Alex Galifant met with some Sudanese in New York and asked them about the two votes.
There are thousands of former lost boys now living in the States. Here's one, Kuek Garang.
I was the victim, and I don't want to see other children facing the same process that I have been through.
Garang fled Sudan when he was six. He's now 29 and committed to a peaceful future for his homeland. But for many southerners like Garang, there's this inherent contradiction about the country's impending elections. They know the vote is likely to be rigged.
We don't have to wait for the day that the people are going to cast their vote. It's already rigged.
But rigged or not, they insist the elections must go ahead.
If this election is not going to be happened, that means that we have a fear of referendum is not going to happen. And that's a very big fear.
Both this weekend's vote and a referendum on independence for southern Sudan were agreed elements of the 2005 peace agreement between the north and the south. Ezekiel Lol Gatwoff heads the autonomous government of southern Sudan's mission to the United States. He says the election, however flawed, is just a step on the path to the ultimate goal, January 9, 2011, the deadline for the referendum.
It cannot be extended, it cannot be played with. This is what the southern Sudanese have been fighting for the last 37 years, and this is their destiny. They can compromise election by the referendum. It's a red line for them, and anybody who is tampering with them, it is basically tampering with the future of the people of southern Sudan, and they will not tolerate that.
That may be true, but it's not the whole story, according to Amir Idris. He teaches at Fordham University in Manhattan, and Idris says many southern Sudanese are dissatisfied with their government's performance. Intertribal violence is on the rise, and the United Nations estimates nearly 4.5 million people in the south will need food assistance this year. So for many southern Sudanese, the general election this weekend does matter.
They want to make sure that the future government of southern Sudan is not corrupt, the government that will be responsible and accountable to the people. These people, they're very much interested in having a credible democratic exercise, not only in southern Sudan, but also in the rest of the country.
And that's the key point. It's one thing to tick the box marked elections on the way to a referendum. But if those elections are meant to do something, to build faith in democracy or prepare political space for a successful referendum, well, a flawed, boycotted election is hardly ideal. Last night, the United States floated the idea of a short delay. Sudan's central government in Khartoum rejected that. Meanwhile, the seven-year conflict in Darfur continues.
Hey, this is a wake-up call. It's a wake-up call.
Kuek Garang, the former lost boy, wants to see the outside world, including the U.S., keep the pressure on Sudanese leaders.
The international community is like a lion without teeth, and they have to put their teeth back on, and they have to bite. If they see that the rebel are the issue, then they'll have to bite the rebel. If they see that the Khartoum government is the issue, they have to bite the Khartoum government.
But in the wake of what's likely to be a victory for the incumbent president, Omar al-Bashir, the outside world has limited options between now and that referendum in January. For The World, I'm Alex Galifant.
Our colleagues at the BBC also came across an amazing story of an ex-child soldier in Sudan. You can see and hear the story of 15-year-old Deng Chan at theworld.org.